Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I don't expect people in the Liberty Movement, the Awakening Movement, the pro-freedom movement, whatever you want to call it, to agree with everything I say and do and all of my guests. Because sometimes in hindsight, I don't agree with the things I've done or said. But I do expect you to assess what you're doing. I'm not talking about people even attacking me, but people that just spend their time attacking other people in the Liberty Movement and self-policing and believing you'll become the leader of something if you continue that. No, you're wasting away. You're destroying yourself. I want you to be leaders. We need you. And we need you to be focused and wise. We need all of you. And in your gut, you know I'm for real. You know I love you and I care about you. Folks, the sodium fluoride, you can spend all day saying I'm mad and evil, but at least spend some of your time warning people that sodium fluoride is killing people, attacking all the glands, all the organs, thousands of studies. I told people a year ago when they first approved it that it had already killed a bunch of people in trials and caused thousands of autoimmune diseases that are crippling people. And I had guests in studio, medical doctors. And now, a year plus later, the death toll is much higher. And this is a whitewash number you're about to hear. See, why aren't you warning women to not give them the Gardasil shot that's a live cancer virus that doesn't even protect them and that actually hurts them? It says it on the insert. In fact, here's CNN. Listen to this.
Taquaria Williams doesn't get to act like a kid anymore. She's just too tired.
It kind of hurts. I used to could do a lot.
But Taquaria's mother says everything changed last December after her daughter received Gardasil, a vaccine that prevents 70% of cervical cancer.
She's never been sick. She's never been in a hospital. Nothing. Until the Gardasil shot.
2 months after getting the shot, Taquaria says she got a rash on her face and arms, leaving these scars. She had swelling all over, pain in her joints, and poor circulation in her fingertips. Her doctor told us she now suffers from an autoimmune disease and says it is possible the Gardasil triggered her illness, though she made it clear the cause cannot be proven. According to a federal tracking system called VAERS...
Stop that. We're going to play the death toll in a minute. The drug, the live cancer virus, they admit that's what it does. They admit that's one of the, quote, side effects. And we've had medical doctors on who've documented that is what's happening. In the trials, it did that. We didn't tell you a year ago it made your hair fall out. We told you it causes autoimmune diseases, which cripple you or kills you. And then now you're in the news a year later admitting that. And so they go to some doctor who hasn't done the epidemiological test, and they're saying, well, I can't prove it, but it looks like it's connected. Well, the studies do prove that, just like we played you clips of all the troops dying after they get vaccines, and the feds won't even say what the secret vaccine was. It's illegal. Federal courts have ruled they can't even make the military take shots, but they tell the troops they have to. Finish it up with the death toll.
According to a federal tracking system called VAERS, there have been 9,749 adverse reactions following the vaccination, and 21 reported deaths since 2006.
I chose to get my daughter vaccinated.
But Merck, Gardasil's maker, points out these are anecdotal cases.
All right, let's stop. As we told you a year ago, Merck knew that it was causing these problems, just like their Vioxx caused all the heart attacks and the rest of it. And so they had Governor Perry, who they paid, quote, make it mandatory, which it really wasn't, quote, recommended. So then federal vaccine damage fund kicked in and federal liability payments kicked in to pay for the damage. Then they got it approved to roll out knowing what it would do. Just like Bayer Pharmaceutical knew that millions of people would get HIV and hepatitis from their factor VIII, they knew every injection of the blood product over a decade would give a death sentence to who took it. And that's all come out mainstream news. See, those are the issues that people better be talking about. And I've got to say, I've seen a few of my detractors actually do that. I commend you. That's good. Spend some time helping people.
Terror Storm, a history of government-sponsored terror.
Loose Change Final Cut. Endgame. Blueprint for Global Enslavement. The True Story of the Bilderberg Group. The Late Great USA. America, Freedom to Fascism. These are just a few of the hundreds of powerful documentary films and books available at truthnews.us and prisonplanet.com. When you visit prisonplanet.com, you can connect to our amazing online store. Whether you're looking for survival and wellness products like Berkey water filters, or you would like a book on the history of the Federal Reserve, we've got the most well-researched and documented titles, all available at prisonplanet.com. Or if you'd like, you can give the InfoWars store a call at 888-253-3139. Or you can view more than 1,000 titles in super high quality right now at prisonplanet.tv. Knowledge is power, and the information you need to effectively wake up your fellow man and fight the New World Order is available right now at truthnews.us and prisonplanet.tv. Join the InfoWar today.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Have you ever been told that communism has collapsed and no longer a threat to our national sovereignty? If so, why are communists overthrowing African and South and Central American governments to install a communist regime? If so, why has Cuba and China agreed with other communist countries to surround the United States in preparation for an attack to end capitalism? We'd like to help you understand why these things are happening by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your order for a free subscription to Newswatch Magazine.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you have greater exposure to these chemicals while taking hot showers than when drinking the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate and others are absorbed into the skin. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter works with both hot and cold water, and it's designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter typically lasts 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter normally, $49 for our special price of only $39.99 with free shipping. Call the Berkey Guy and order now by calling 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or simply click on the banner at GCNLive.com to order online now.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I'll go ahead and tell you who our surprise guest is today. They called us about 20 minutes ago and said he was running late. Hope I get my full 30 minutes with him. That's the Austin Police Chief, Art Acevedo. And he will be reportedly joining us here in the next 10 minutes or so. I may have to play some clips while we get him into the chair. These guys always have very busy schedules, and they know who we are and said they'd be happy to come on the show about 2 weeks ago. They set this date up, and they say he's coming over here to our little South Austin office. So I am here waiting for that to happen. I bet he'll have an entourage, too. Got quite a few questions for the police chief. I have to say that he's been the first police chief we've had in decades who, when police shoot people in the back, he kicks them off the force. And it's not because he doesn't like the police. It's because he knows. I'm going to ask him about this, but it's what other police chiefs have said. They've been doing the right thing. Because then it makes all the police look bad and then destroys their image and then destroys their effectiveness in the community. But we'll talk about that with him, a lot of other things, with the Austin police chief, who is scheduled to be joining us in studio. I bet a lot of police are listening. I know they always listen anyways. I've walked by squad cars before. Years ago when my show would be rebroadcasting, you know, in a suburban parking lot here, I'm listening to it. I'll never forget One time, George Bush, it was in 2002, he had the federal marshals guarding his daughters. And it was my friend's 40th birthday, his wife's 40th birthday. It was actually Kevin Booth, Trey Booth, his wife. We went to a steakhouse downtown, and I come walking up, and there's all these black Suburbans. They go, oh, Alex Jones. Oh, my God. Don't, Alex, just leave him alone. I'm not going to say who's in there. I'm like, that's fine. They're like, hey, we're fans of the show. And he goes, look. And the federal marshal's in the car, another one, with the local FM that was rebroadcasting my show on, listening to it. And then I go in to the steakhouse, and they happen to see us in this huge steakhouse. Well, it's pretty big, City Grill. Several big rooms. Right next to the Bush daughters, who were getting completely drunk. This is after they turned 21. They just turned 21. They're twins. And they're in there with their punk rock boyfriends, the devil tats and, you know, pentagram shirts, literally. And Kevin goes, I've got a video camera in my car. Let's get video of this. It'll be huge. And I said, do not even think about it. You want to end up like American Media? The Inquirer did a piece on them. They got anthrax mailed to them. And I literally had to reach over and get Kevin by the arm. And I said, no. Oh, they're here. Are they already in the building? Hey, it's the police chief smiling at me through the window. Well, you know what? Go to that that piece we were going to play so I have time to get the police chief in here and greet him. Go ahead and go to that, John. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crying in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
The relationship between bin Laden and the CIA was essentially, he was one of the assets, one of the people they could turn to. They wanted something done, they went to bin Laden.
In the early 1980s, bin Laden worked with operatives from U.S. intelligence, the Pakistani military, and Arab states.
Is it not true that the United States government paid $300 million to the bin Laden family for the construction of the military camp?
At basis, though, I really think that these were more CIA assets, people that were recruited, like all of the folks I've been issuing visas to.
Then we have that mysterious suitcase with all of the hijackers' names and all of this incriminating evidence. Why put a Koran? Why put flight manuals? Why put all this incriminating information if it's supposedly going to get burned up?
Let's show you some video that was taken 8 days after 9/11. That man there is Osama bin Laden's younger brother, Khalil.
And that family that took off, that's a f***ing crime.
I was surprised at the evidence that there were foreign governments involved. Most of that information is classified, I think overly classified.
Osama bin Laden.
Osama bin Laden.
Bin Laden.
Osama bin Laden.
Osama bin Laden.
Remember, 24 hours ago, it was the Bush tax cut, the Bush budget, the Bush economy. You don't hear of any of that tonight. It's America's enemy. America's under attack.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am really excited, and he's a really nice guy. I guess that's why he's already a major police chief in a major city as young as he is, and he's got a long bio here, but I thought that he was, for the rest of the hour, being very gracious about that, Art Acevedo. He is the Austin police chief who's now been in, what, close to a year or so?
A little over a year.
And we're honored to have you, sir.
Yeah, good to be here. Finally get to meet you.
Well, it's great to have you in studio with us today. Just out of the gate, instead of reading your lengthy bio, tell us a little bit about yourself, because this is an international audience, obviously, not just in Austin.
Okay, well, I'm 44 years old. I'm a proud father of three kids, a 19-year-old, 16-year-old, and a 4-month-old. I was born in Havana, Cuba. I migrated to the United States, one of the lucky ones that got out of Cuba in 68. Always wanted to be a cop, became a cop, loved being a cop, and I did it out of a desire to really serve. I love people. I think being a cop is really about dealing with people, and if you can deal with people, you have people skills, you can be very successful at policing.
Now, obviously, you've got courage coming into the Lions gym here.
Well, hey, I frisked you down. I don't see any weapons on you, so, you know, words can't kill you, I hope.
No, listen, we have always wanted a relationship with the police.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't like the fact, and I've probably even been bad in the past, bashing police too much, and that kind of combats police into their own little culture
right. Instead
of having the public and the police interface. And I know that since you've gotten in, you've done a lot of things I've actually really agreed with, some things I've disagreed with, really have been interfacing with the media, the public. I mean, you've got to be the hardest working police chief I've ever seen living in Austin for the last 18 years.
Well, great. Well, thank you for that. But, you know, it's important. Look, we have nothing to hide. I really believe that through transparency comes trust. And the more transparent we are, the more we engage the community. Sometimes we're going to have to agree to disagree, but that's okay. But we have to have a dialogue, because that's what's going to breed trust. And with trust, I think, comes safety and a better quality of life for all of us.
Now, Chief, I got a lot of questions here for you.
Okay, I'll have the answers.
Out of the gates, though, tell us about your philosophy before we go to this break in just a moment. Your philosophy versus some of your predecessors.
Well, my philosophy, I think, is transparency and accountability are the two most important things to me. If we're transparent, I really believe we have a pretty darn good department. So why not be transparent? And why not put the good, the bad, and the ugly out there? Because by doing that, people start realizing that we have nothing to hide and they can actually trust us. And I think in the past, we really haven't engaged as an organization, the community, the media, your critics. Some people run away from activists. I actually run towards them because I want to know what they have to say, and I want them to know what I feel, what I believe, so at least we can have that mutual respect.
Well, there have been big changes. Also, in the past, if Austin police shot somebody in the back, they would not get in trouble. Now that they have been getting in trouble.
Well, you know, that you're talking about the Kevin Brown shooting. That was a tragic event for everybody involved, including the sergeant was fired. But the reality is we've got to call them as we see them. You know, I know the community likes some of the calls. They'll dislike some of the calls. But I think if people know your heart and they know that you actually care and that you're trying to do the right thing, they may not agree with you, but at least they'll respect the fact that you're trying and that your heart's in the right place, which is important.
Well, absolutely, and you've done some other things that have been good, and I've been happy to see police and the union not attacking you as much, because they understand that if they don't clean house, it's just going to be downhill.
You know, and that's true. The reality is we don't have that much cleaning to do. The majority of our cops are really hard-working, dedicated professionals, but it doesn't take more than one or two or three or a handful to really diminish the excellence and destroy the excellence in the bridges that we're building.
I tell you what, we're going to break. That's a great place to leave it off. Stay there, sir. Back in just a few minutes with the Austin Police Chief in studio with us.
All right.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
On September 11th, 2001, along with hundreds of my fellow troops, I went to Ground Zero, and we knew what to do. Or at least we thought we did.
Truth Rising is a breakthrough 9/11 film that finally gives first responders a platform to tell their story.
Whitman, EPA director, on the 18th, made a statement that the air was safe to breathe.
This film follows the growing momentum of 9/11 Truth as brave souls throughout the world take action against their global masters.
He had his hand over the radio while he was getting a countdown. He takes his hand off and you hear 3, 2, 1, and it was boom, 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 boom.
This is an emergency transmission worldwide. Download Truth Rising at prisonplanet.tv and aggressively spread it worldwide, or order the DVD at Infowars.com. If we don't expose the government-sponsored terror, they're going to commit more acts and bring in martial law.
Here I am at a gathering of friends, minding my own business, when one of our buddies, Bob, walks up to me, very concerned. He says, "Wow, have you seen the gasoline prices lately?" And I said, "Oh, of course. Woo, they're high." He says, "Yeah." He says, "What am I going to do? I've got a truck. There's no way that anybody's going to buy my truck in this market. I really need the truck for my job. It uses more gas than I can afford. I've got to find a way to come up with some extra money. I got a wife with 4 kids at home. I don't know what to do." I said, "Bob, relax. I know what to do. Call eFoodsDirect.com or go up on the web at eFoodsDirect.com. They will deliver food, really good, high-quality, nutritional, delicious food to your door now, right there in front of your house, for about half the price that you were paying for groceries last year. You can take the savings from that, offset the cost of your fuel, and use it to buy more inexpensive food to hedge against tomorrow's increasing food prices. Why don't you do that, Bob?" He said, "eFoodsDirect.com." I said, "Yep, call them at 1-800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. Do it now.
Here's a story. You wash your car, how long does it last? 3 days? A week? 2 weeks? Life Change Tea eliminates chemicals, toxins, and parasites, and much more. The effect? You lose weight. That's right, you lose weight. So here's the story. You wash your car, it gets dirty again. You cleanse your body, chemicals and toxins come back. The fix? Stay on the tea. And here's how we will help. Ask for the Mid-State Fair Special when ordering. Here's how to order. Online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Get the tea. Restoring America's health, one tea bag at a time.
Austin Police Chief Art Acevedo is our guest in studio, and now we can start the interrogation.
Here we go.
You like the interrogation room? We have lots of lights, a little bitty room.
I like the padding, you know, so when you get rough with me, I know I'm not going to hurt myself too badly.
You know, I'm surprised that you didn't bring a whole entourage with you, because other Austin Police Chiefs I've noticed would normally have an entourage, and then guys out in the parking lot. I've you know, worked at a few of the radio stations doing my show out of there. And like the police chiefs would be coming on other shows sometimes, and you'd see guys in the parking lot looking around. And
no, I'm a one man traveling. So I brought Ana Sabam. She's our public information manager. I think that it's important for her to meet the folks out here in the media, so you can have a relationship with our office.
Okay, let's get into the tough questions in this short segment. We got a long one coming up after the next break.
Okay.
Plate scanning. They've announced all over the country. The feds have put in these license plate reading cameras. Police cars are getting them. It's all part of this larger Northcom grid. You have the emergency management centers where they're bringing in the National Guard, threat assessment, threat matrix systems, this whole Northcom grid. The last police chief actually interviewed in person was the police chief of San Antonio, L.A. Philippus, when Delta Force tried to bribe him and ended up in the paper to run covert operations in the city. Your take on all that?
Well, I think any technology, it's not the technology that is bad or evil or anything else. It's how you use it. License plate readers are a good tool when you're looking for an Amber Alert, a partial plate on a kid that's been kidnapped. You can actually program that system. Let's say it's 123 SAM, and all you have is 123, and it'll spit out any car. It'll identify, here's a car that you're looking for. So it helps us in terms of finding wanted vehicles and recovering stolen cars. With that said, if we bring it here, it's solely for our local law enforcement use and nothing else.
But those grids, those grants are paid for by the feds. And if you'd like to give me documents, I can. They're also feeding into that with NSA technology.
Well, I'm not aware of that. That's something I've never
heard. Okay, well, what about the gunshot detectors they started putting up in 1998, which are really microphones?
Gunshot detectors, we don't have them here. We're very fortunate that we have a city that's a very safe city.
What about the grants that announced in 98 that were putting them in East Austin?
We don't have them here. I mean, if we have them, I haven't seen them or heard about them, so it's news to me.
Uh-huh. Well, those are federally put in, so I guess it's for the Fed boys.
Yeah, the Austin Police Department does not have that technology here.
Right. What about mutualization? I'm always hearing about our police being sent to Israel or Israel coming over here, our police being sent to Japan, to Tokyo, and that, quote, then their officers can come over here and pick people up. We can go over there. What's going on with that?
Well, what these are, some of those programs, actually exchange programs, where you actually go and look at some of their tactics in terms of security. I actually went on one myself where what basically was a tour of their facilities and just to learn from their experiences in terms of terrorism and things of that nature. But we have not had any delegation here that I'm aware of.
Okay. I've got a film I made 6 years ago, so you may not be aware of the specifics of what I'm talking about, but I'm sure you are. The programs where the Austin police enroll the children with a $200 discount credit card, and they get the $200 for turning people in, reporting on drugs, crime, but they also tell them to go home and what's in the medicine cabinet. That sounds like East Germany. Are you aware of that Austin program?
I don't think we have that program anymore. If you do, you need to let me know where it's happening, because I can tell you that we're not in that business.
But you were aware of that program. I mean, this was years ago here, but I'm told it's still going on.
No. If it's going on, somebody needs to tell me where and when so I can look into that. I would not be in favor of a program of that sort.
Well, what I'm going to do is we're going to go over this interview, and in a few months, I know you're a busy man, I'd like to have you back in.
Yeah.
And I will have all the documents on each issue, and I will play the video of the Austin TV ad that they show inside the schools where it told the kids, you know, you're going to get $200 for whoever you turn in. You're going to report on people. And then they have the children write essays about what's going on in their home life.
Like I said, what happened back then, I can't attest to. What I can tell you that we don't have a program like that today, and I would not be in favor of a program like that.
Well, good. I like you even more. What about federalization? We have all this federal funds, unfunded mandates coming in, some funded. With the case of the blood taking, now, I know here your
You're talking about my phlebotomy program that I talked about recently.
Well, they're taking blood at checkpoints or dragging people off to have their blood taken.
No, what's happened, I'm glad you brought that up. That's one of the reasons I'm here, because I think it's really important. Look, we are in one of the worst states in the union for drunk driving. Drunk driving is something that I brought some of the stats where, well, you know, 40,000 plus Americans every year are getting killed in this country. Nearly 2,000 Texans are getting killed from drunk driving. You can have them.
I'm just going to show people on the camera.
And the reality is it is carnage. What's happened, Alex, that a lot of folks, if they refuse a blood test, okay, that we need to get that evidence, a lot of hospitals don't want to take the blood for the department without a consent from the suspect because they don't want the liability. The Travis County Sheriff's Department is now talking to us that their nurses aren't going to draw blood for us anymore. They don't want their nurses to have to go to court, be tied up. So what's happened is we've got to look at how can we get evidence that we need of a crime that's been committed.
Okay, leave it there. We'll come right back to you and let you continue.
Okay.
We have the Austin police chief on. It's amazing. We're really happy to have him here. He's Art Acevedo. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Now, from the makers of Loose Change, the most downloaded film in internet history, comes the long-awaited release of Loose Change Final Cut, an entirely new two-hour film that completely destroys the official fable forever. Loose Change Final Cut hopes to be a catalyst for a new independent investigation in which family members receive answers to their questions and the true perpetrators of this horrendous crime are brought to justice. Loose Change Final Cut is the ultimate 9/11 expose. From hijackers being trained at U.S. military bases to bombs in the buildings, Loose Change Final Cut is the one 9/11 film everyone must see. Secure your copy of Loose Change Final Cut today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. While you're visiting the online video store, be sure to check out the huge discounts on films like Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, America, Freedom to Fascism, and hundreds of other titles. We're in a no-holds-bar information war. Truth is our weapon, and PrisonPlanet.com has the tools you need to take the fight back to Big Brother.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with a very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code 500 to get a free trial and a free webcam, too. Remember that code, 500, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco, and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try. Free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code 500. WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset, so try it today. Store it today and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Art Acevedo, Austin Police Chief, is our guest for the rest of the hour. Very charming devil, I have to say. We'll be watching him very closely from this time forward.
Well, I think the feeling is mutual. You know what? You're a teddy bear in person. I like watching you.
I am a nice guy.
You are a nice guy.
I get intimidated by police that have been given federally paid for Darth Vader uniforms and aren't wearing badges. And you were talking earlier about seeing video of me on the web or TV or something. Where I'm going up to the police downtown who are in their riot gear, and I'm just wanting to see their badges. That's why I was talking to them.
Well, let me tell you something about our badges that I think you'll probably like. We now have, don't look at mine, mine's unique, I'm the police chief, if you can't figure out who I'm at, we're in trouble. Our badges now have the you know how you ask, hey, let me have your badge number?
Oh, it says chief.
Well, mine does, but you know how you always say in the movies, hey, copper, I want your badge number. Well, our employee numbers and our badge numbers were completely different, so it didn't mean anything. Now, with this new badge that we have, the employee number and the badge number will be one and the same.
No, you're really changing things. I mean, now they're wearing the old-fashioned, nice, fancy, respectable uniforms, not like goon outfits, and they're driving black and white, and you've got their badge numbers and a big badge.
And a big badge, so there's no doubt, and it's not a generic badge. And you know what? We've got some good police officers. They deserve better, and I think they earn this privilege because wearing this uniform, wearing this badge is a privilege they have to earn every day they come to work. And I think they've earned the privilege of wearing a unique symbol.
Yeah, why have a lot of departments the last 20 years gone into these maintenance uniforms? It looks like the maintenance guy at a university.
Because you know what? People are looking for comfort, and we try to be the nice guy. And if they want to be in their we're kind of going the opposite direction. We're trying to tighten it up a little bit where we want people looking professional. We're going to have some pants that are kind of like cargo pants, but they're more tailored and they look cleaner for our guys out on patrol. And we want some uniformity. So when you see an awesome police officer, they all look the same.
And in the past, we had white cars with a blue stripe. Now you're going to the old black and white.
Black and white. You know, there's a lot of white cars in this town. Everybody drives a white car.
No, they stand out now. You know.
Yeah, and you know. And the lights are very bright. I want our citizens to know when they see a black and white that that's a police car. It's an awesome police car, and they're out there taking care of them.
All right, going back to the blood issue.
Yeah.
You guys can say, well, this is nothing new. We're getting a warrant. In Illinois, Indiana, and in some areas of Texas, I've read that the police are taking it at night out at the side of a road at a checkpoint, and that a lot of lawyers, and I've had the head of the Texas Bar on, are saying these aren't really real warrants. Some of the cities have. It's a blank check warrant that basically the judges, just whatever's called in, are running with. Now, I haven't seen that claim with Austin, but still there are concerns here about people who are hemophiliacs, people who are diabetics. I mean, I've had blood taken in, for insurance or whatever, and the nurse can't seem to find it herself, much less some cop at the side of the road. That's quite a line to pass.
But it's not going to be on the side of the road. I think that that's the image. You know, I looked at some of the blogs. I like to listen. I like to watch and read what's going on in my city. And some of the comments were, hey, I'm not going to have Bubba cop sit there on the side of the road. You know, give me a liberty or give me death. It will be.
They've been doing that in Denver. But.
Well, this is going to be a program that if we do launch it, it's in response to a need. We've got it. We have to get that evidence to try to hold some of these folks.
But it is a federal grant.
If I can get it. I don't know if I'll be able to get it. But it is to train a handful of police officers as phlebotomists that in an instance where we arrest somebody for driving under the influence, especially when they've killed somebody or seriously injured or maimed somebody, remember that we kill almost 2,000 Texans a year with drunk driving. We're the hardest drinking city, according to Forbes. So alcohol.
No, we're worse than New Orleans now.
Yeah.
We sell the most alcohol of
any. So
listen, out in the south of Austin, I was driving by. They got a liquor store bigger than a Super Walmart.
Oh, yeah. And so, Alex, I mean, you know, I see you're a father. I'm a father. We're out here driving on these streets and these roadways, and there is carnage going on, and this is nothing more than using a lawful. And it will only be done in a lawful manner, in a sanitary condition, in a secure location, with some checks and balances.
Okay, well, in 1999, they shut down all of 35 from Kyle out to Round Rock, literally cars going 1 mile an hour, with police shining lights in people's eyes under the federal grant. Why would the feds want to give us this money that we've already paid for in taxes to do that? I mean, are we going to see stuff like that?
No. We don't have checkpoints here. I think that you'd have to have a Texas legislature would have to approved checkpoints.
But you heard about those big ones they had here, didn't you?
No, I haven't heard about it.
All right, I'm going to have it all for you.
I'm the new guy, Alex.
From L.A.
I'm from L.A. I know. I'm from Texas now, buddy.
The slick CIA command base.
Is it L.A.? God, they can do
better. What was your role? You were pretty high up in the L.A. Police Department.
No, I was a California Patrol Chief. I was a state police officer.
And then you were also a police chief somewhere else in Texas, weren't you?
No.
Okay.
That's another Ace of Vito, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But the reality is, look, we have a responsibility to keep people alive, and we have a responsibility when somebody kills somebody out there, seriously injures somebody, to hold them accountable. And I don't want people to think, look, you got to realize where I started my life. I started my life in a communist dictatorship, and I hope you don't say you like Fidel Castro, because then those are fighting words with Cubans, okay? The reality.
Oh, yeah,
is,
I'm a known communist.
Yeah, are you? I didn't know that part. But the reality is that.
That's a joke. I'm a Ron Paul guy.
No, I know. The reality is I absolutely respect the Constitution. We are a nation of laws, and we will always abide by the rules that is set for us by the public.
And by the legislature. Well, the problem is the legislature tells Rick Perry you're not going to put these toll roads on existing roads, and he just says, I'm going to do it.
Well, that's an issue for the legislature and Rick Perry to deal with.
Okay, let's bring up the big issue then. You talk about drunk driving, and I've got hundreds of mainstream articles. I know you're aware of this.
You keep saying that.
Well, because you're a smart guy. But I'm saying if you want me to pull any of this up right
Absolutely,
now, I can.
Yeah.
I'm just saying we document it. Claims I'm making are not claims. They're facts.
Okay.
Sheriffs, police chiefs all over the country have said that they pull over a van, say, with 15 illegal aliens in it.
Mm-hmm.
None of them have IDs. None of them have insurance. Some of them are drunk. They pick them up. They take them in. ICE won't pick them up. The judges in the city say, $50 fines, we don't have any ID, we're letting him go. The famous railway serial killer killed a bunch of people, been going around for years, couldn't be caught. You talk about tracking things and having accountability. Citizens are having their plates scanned, face scanned, control, police everywhere, children spying on us in the schools. But then meanwhile, I know for a fact in Austin, Texas, and I've had a bunch of Austin police tell me this, and it happened. One night I pulled up, at this office, and I see two police cars and the lights going about a year and a half ago, and I walk up, and my IT guy, he's actually a contractor, is in handcuffs. He goes, oh, yeah, my license expired. I haven't got it renewed. And they said, yep, we're just having to arrest him. And I said, and it turned out the cops kind of bowled up when I first pulled up, and they said, oh, Alex Jones, how you doing? We're fans of the show. But then they went ahead and said, no, we got to arrest him. And I said, but if he was an illegal alien, you probably wouldn't. And he says, you know what? They just let him go, and we're not encouraged to do it, and Austin's a sanctuary city. Now, so what do you say to that claiming drunk drivers when statistically, you talk about Austin being hard drinking, we know folks from south of the border are hard drinking too, just like Texans.
Well, look, I've been talking about this on Spanish media and on Spanish radio, and it's from the day I got here. If you commit a crime in the city, if you commit a violation, I don't care if you're legal or illegal, we're going to enforce the law. That is our job. And
now, this was a year and a half ago, but why did the officers tell me they weren't supposed to arrest them a year and a half ago?
You know what? Some of it may be their own their own perception. The reality is when we take enforcement action, we base it on the statutes and the ordinances in the city without regard to socioeconomic standing.
Is this a sanctuary city? It's listed as one.
This is not a sanctuary city because when we book people at the jail, ICE has access to the jail.
They don't come, do they? What do you do when you don't know who somebody is and there's been a stabbing and you've got three witnesses and it's hard to prosecute because nobody knows who these people are? And then also then that victimizes these communities because they're lawless.
Well, absolutely, because there's two things here that are happening. First of all, immigration control starts at the border. You got to secure your borders. I think that most major city chiefs, that is actually a policy position of the major city chiefs here in the country, is that we've got to secure our borders. The second part, though, is that we have to be serious about it, because here's the unintended consequence. If I become actually, it's an unfounded mandate for me to be doing ICE's work or immigration's work. But here's the problem. If it is a revolving door where 3 days after you get them, if we became an arm of immigration, they're going to be right back. What can happen is that we lose the trust of that community that's going to be here, and we lose witnesses, we lose victims, and we all lose. I have friends that work for the federal government in California, in Southern California, that used to be frustrated that they'd take people down on the bus, and the joke was that the people that were deported beat the bus back.
Well, they also
to downtown LA.
They also kill police, federal police. They commit murders, and Mexico will not extradite back to the U.S. if there's a death penalty.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, this is literally like the Wild West. You know about the rocket attacks in Nuevo Laredo. You know about the truck bomb in Dallas. You know about Los Zetas paramilitary Mexican troops are now, and I reported this 3 years before it hit the mainstream, are now carrying out operations. The police are scared of them. MS-13, I mean, it's – and then meanwhile, my guy's got an expired license. He's off the jail.
Well, again, our official position here is that if you break the law, if you violate the law, we're going to treat you the same, whether you're legal or illegal. You're going to go to jail.
So what do you do when you pull an illegal alien over who's driving a car and they don't have insurance? I mean, how do you write them a ticket if you don't know who they are?
Well, if you cannot reasonably identify who a person is, then you take them forthwith to get them identified. Another thing that we're looking
at. So you are taking people to jail who you don't know who they are.
Our policy allows our officers that if you cannot identify a person that you can go forth with.
But see, that's their discretion. You can go forth. I mean, yeah, but the police are encouraged to go out and write tickets and generate revenue on the almost broke-back city, even though we're a wealthy city. But meanwhile, you see, look, let's be honest, Chief. You know and I know there's a double standard. There's a double standard to 867 sanctuary cities, and Austin is on the map as one of the worst in the country after L.A., Denver, Chicago. We got a Mexican, consulate, our mission here, which hands out these Cracker Jack
the consular
matricula.
Matricula, yeah.
I mean, I had the leader of the Republican Senate on a few years ago, and he in one day himself went and got four fake IDs from a Mexican consulate.
Well, it is a challenge, but the problem for us in this, as police officers at the local level, is policing a community that we know is here, and policing a community that, we don't control the borders. We have to control what's in our city, and I think some of the frustration is that the reality is the way that you deal with immigration is you dry up jobs, you dry up some of those opportunities. People wouldn't come here illegally. And to me, that's if you're going to get serious, that's where you start, is with employers.
Oh, I agree. I am for throwing the – I mean, plus, just as a citizen, I want people to be able to have entry-level jobs, no matter what color they are. We've got hundreds of millions of people that want to come here. And the states are already bankrupt the hospitals. One weekend, I cut my finger off. on accident, helping some people with their boat out in Lake Travis, flopping around. And so the ambulance took me down to the city hospital, and there was just rows of illegal aliens in there who had no insurance. And they,
well, that might be an assumption, just because they look Hispanic. How do you know they're illegal?
No, I was listening. I was listening. Okay. I was sitting there with my hand wrapped up with it hanging by a piece of skin, and my dad, who's a physician, is there saying he needs to get this attached fast. I've called him. He drove down.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, but it wasn't just that. It was poor people. It was a place. It was a Sunday. Full of poor people who were so poor they don't have insurance. And then about half of them were, you know, because I was watching. They'd go up, you know, and they'd say, do you have insurance? Do you have ID? No. Well, who are you? And then because they knew that they weren't going to have insurance, but they needed to provide care, which I'm saying is good, they went right through. My point is the country is breaking down, and we need to not give third world populations special status, or it's going to destroy this country. I'm all for immigrants coming to this nation. I'm all, I mean, just like, you know, you were born in Cuba fleeing communism.
Yeah, well, we applied to come here. We applied.
That's what I'm saying, Chief.
But here's the issue, though. There are some unintended consequences. Remember, now, the job of immigration enforcement lies primarily with the federal government. It's their job. We have people here that keep arguing we shouldn't arrest people that are committing burglaries, we can't keep the burglars, the rapists, all these other folks in jail because there's no jail space. If ICE isn't going to pick them up, then it kind of defeats the purpose of taking them, if that's the only reason you're taking them there for. But here's our challenge. The unintended consequences, if you have 10 million people here illegally, that you know if they get deported, they're going to probably be back within a few days because you know they know the routes, they know how to come back. We lose potentially 10 million witnesses to crime. 10 million. One of our kids gets kidnapped at the bus stop, and the little old lady that's the child care attendant for somebody that, you know, they hire.
No, I understand people.
Now they're afraid to call the local cop, and they might be, the Amber Alert system actually works. I think you know that. I mean, in the West Coast has had 100% recovery rate. It is a great system.
Yeah, but now they're going to use it, you know, for flashing call terrorist tip line. Don't water your yard on Tuesdays.
No, you can't get crazy with that because it waters it down. People lose interest and it loses its effectiveness. But that's one of the unintended consequences, that if people start becoming afraid of calling the cops aren't going to take enforcement action against somebody. The next time they victimize somebody, it may be you or me or someone else. So it has to be a comprehensive approach that starts with securing our border, making sure that people can only get jobs if they're here legally or serious about it. But it really is a federal issue that they've got to be the ones that take the lead on it.
Well, Chief Acevedo, I agree with a lot of what you're saying about how it should be federal, about how it should be enforced against employers. It's very hypocritical to arrest these immigrants and treat them bad. And believe me, I know how bad Mexico is. In Mexico City, 30 million people, half of them living in cardboard boxes. It's hell on earth. The problem is this country's like a lifeboat. That will pull the boat completely down if we just say unlimited and the crime and then give them a double standard. And I understand this rationale, but the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah.
And to just say we have to have, you know, this interface with the community, and so we have to go with kid gloves, I'm saying there's not kid gloves with me, because I'm seen as the big fat milk cow. I'm seen as the dumb American driving around in their SUV.
Trust me, you're not seen as a dumb guy. You're seen as a very bright, articulate, well-informed individual. But here,
I'm talking about the citizens.
But citizens
are seen as the milk cow to be sucked off of.
Well, but here's the issue. Here, playing devil's advocate to your position. If I get involved and just start asking people for your papers solely for the reason to see if they're here legally or not, and they get deported, and 3 days later they're back, and now that same person in the future sees a crime or is a victim of crime and they will no longer want to cooperate with me, how has public safety been enhanced?
Well, I want to be clear. I think if somebody, there should be an amnesty in that if someone comes in to report a crime, it's policy and it's advertised that if you come in seeing a stabbing or a shooting or
that's
a robbery.
That's a U visa. That's actually it in law now.
But the Austin cops have told me, and I've sat around at bars and restaurants with them. I got friends that are cops. I've worked out with cops. And they go, yeah, we're basically told and encouraged. We get in trouble. We get, you know, start getting demerits for other issues if we drag in a bunch of illegal aliens. It's wrong.
You need to know something about cop culture. Cops sometimes talk out of school a lot where they'll start telling you, and they're talking stories, they're talking shop, and you got to take some.
Oh, now we can't believe the cops.
Well, you know, when you're out there at the bar, you're mentioning bars, you're mentioning drinks, you know, next thing you know, they got the biggest fish that they caught when they went fishing. You got to take it with a little grain of salt when they're telling stories, because there's a lot of urban legends and myths and everything else that goes
on. Police Chief Art Acevedo. He is a slick one, ladies and gentlemen.
What are you talking about? But the reality is, we will not, when my cop makes a lawful arrest, I don't care if the person is legal or illegal. Our position is we expect them to take the proper enforcement action, irregardless of the person's status. And that's the best I can do.
Okay, so police listening right now, and they listen to this show. We're on 90.1, 1330, 590. We're going to re-air this. They're hearing you. They pull somebody over, and there's a beer cans in the back. There's no ID, no insurance. What happens?
You take the proper enforcement action, regardless of what they're...
But what is that? You're saying you leave it up to them.
If it's an offense where it's a ticket, you write a ticket. If it's an offense where they're supposed to go to jail, you take them to jail.
But how do you write a ticket if you don't know who they are? They arrested my guy because he didn't have an ID.
If you don't know who they are and you can't identify them, there's tactics. I'm not going to give you the tactics on how to. People can't get their story straight half the time. So there's ways to get information, identify people. But here's what.
Well, stay there, sir. Final segment coming up with the awesome police chief. This has been great. Stay with us.
I'm enjoying it.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com.
May I have everybody's attention, please? I've come with a message of information. 9/11 was an inside job.
Do you like being a puppet, sir? Do you like being a puppet for the New World Order?
How do the American people know that 9/11 was a stage, was it engineered by you, David Rockefeller, the Trilateral Commission, the CFR?
The day that we stop asking questions is the day that we have allowed the seeds of despotism to grow at our own door.
7 years after the attacks of September 11th, a global awakening has taken place.
An inside job? How dare you?
If you know that there's treason going on, you can be held accountable for treason yourself.
All hell is breaking loose on 6th Avenue.
And if the government has not told the truth, in 5 years we will be here on the 10th anniversary of that.
Truth Rising. Download the film at PrisonPlanet.tv right now, or get the DVD at InfoWars.com. It's now time to take the revolution to the next level.
Have you heard about American Free Press? American Free Press, the only national newspaper that endorsed Ron Paul for president. American Free Press, written by patriots for patriots. Standing firm for our Constitution. Standing firm against the New World Order. Hammering the enemies of freedom. Exposing the intrigues of the global elite. American Free Press hits the Bilderbergers and Trilateralists and the whole Council on Foreign Relations gang head on. Here's your chance to catch up with the news from American Free Press. Get a free subscription to our online newsletter. Just go to our website and sign up. The address is simple, AmericanFreePress.net. It's just like it sounds. AmericanFreePress, all one word, .net. Once again, that's AmericanFreePress.net. American Free Press, the voice of the Second American Revolution.
Police Chief Art Acevedo is our guest for this segment and one more. We're really honored to have him with us. During the break, we were having a really animated discussion. I said, hey, what I don't want is what you grew up in Cuba, what you fought to leave, and we're glad to have people that love freedom in this country. And our arms are totally open to that. And we need people that have experienced tyranny so they can fight against it here. But having children spy on their parents, it always starts out, oh, for drugs, or for if you're being abused, or if you're this or you're that. I mean, I've gone and I've seen the abuses. I've seen CPS snatch people's babies and then lie on the forums because I was there and take them for adoption. I know that the system's gotten predatory, and I'm sure you're a nice guy and a good guy and a smart guy, and you know, you see the good in what's happening. I see a lot of the bad, and I know that we're becoming more like a Cuba, more like a Soviet Union, more like a East Germany with the spying, the control, all of this, and it isn't for our security. I know what I read the Rand Corporation documents. I know how they're federalizing departments. I know the larger plan. They got a lot of guys like you who are well-meaning and bust their butts trying to protect people, and a lot of good's done. But overall, the federal state's growing. The control's growing. So I'd like you to speak to that, Chief. And we appreciate you graciously coming in and being interrogated about, you know, your allegiance stands with the state and the city, doesn't it? I mean, your allegiance stands with the Bill of Rights, Constitution?
Absolutely. I mean, when we take our oath of office, we take an oath to the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of Texas. And my job is really, my number one concern is the welfare and the safety of the people that live, visit, and work in Austin. That's the bottom line.
Absolutely. I mean, expanding on that, though, I mean, we were privately talking about, you know, you're saying you don't want America to be a police state. You're saying you don't want it to be like Cuba. I want to paraphrase what you were saying. You want to elaborate?
Well, I think that you have to. You don't ever want to be in a situation where in Cuba they want to know what your parents are thinking. What is their train of thought? Do they speak out against the government? We never want to be in that kind of place, because my father used to tell us when we got this country, from here to the moon, there's no better place on earth. And I would hope.
And look at you now.
Well, and you know, that's why I love this country. I mean, it's the best country. With all of our warts and everything, there's no other place I'd rather live than the United States of America. It's the greatest place on earth, and I'm hoping to...
I agree, but I want to defend what it is. I mean, America is the Bill of Rights, Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and, you know, we're having our liberties taken, and there's always these good reasons, there's always these excuses, you know, there's always... I was talking to you during the break about the 10th Amendment, and you were saying, well, the Civil War decided that. Well, yeah, and then Reconstruction decided that, but, I mean, is there no end to the federal power?
Well, you know, again, you know, you're talking to the police chief here in Austin, Texas. I try to keep my focus on my local issues. I don't have anybody in the federal government dictating to me how to police this city. And the bottom line is that I work for the city leaders and for the people of the city of Austin. And my allegiance is obviously to my city and my country.
What if there was a huge terror attack somewhere in the United States and they said that we have to implement PDD 51, basically making the president a dictator? What would you do then if they told you, you know, gave you a list, and they have these, it's been in the Houston Chronicle now, of 3,000 Austinites to be picked up, and Alex Jones is on there. And there's no judge, no jury, no indictment, no grand jury. It's just go pick up Alex Jones.
Well, we'd say Alex Jones, we know him. We're going to vouch for him. But the reality is we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
You'll cross the bridge
to figure out what if it's a lawful order. And we'll make that decision based on what we know to be right.
I mean, we got the city to throw out the Patriot Act here locally, you know, to say that we oppose it.
Remember, the bottom line is just remember, we are a local police department. We are a separate entity, and we will operate based upon what our own city statutes are and our requirements are. And I think that's what would be.
But we know that they've trained the police to drive the buses and pick up people during riots. And we know they have the emergency center out at the old airport, the overflow center. Mm-hmm. Is that still there with the bolts and chains on the floor?
I haven't seen it since I've been here.
I mean, are you aware of that?
There's a bolts and chains where?
The little FEMA camp they've got at the old Mueller Airport.
I haven't seen it.
You mean
but you know what, the old airport, I think that's pretty much been
privatized.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's tell you what, stay there. 1 minute break, Chief.
Okay.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our beloved